Our scripture lesson this morning is from two different Gospels. The first one is from the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 8 through 11. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you have only one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be God. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to Living Water Church. I'm so glad you're here today as we continue our exponential sermon series. And today, as you probably have guessed from our various conversations, we're talking about serving. So out of curiosity, I looked up Forbes' best customer service company list for 2026. They put this out every year, and so the top five, in case you're curious, number five is REI. That's the recreational equipment company where you can spend ridiculous amounts of money for exercise. And then number four is USAA. Unfortunately, you can't use them unless you have been a part of the military. You have a parent that's in the military, but it's a really great insurance company, and they do other things. My personal favorite fast food place, Chick-fil-A, otherwise known as Jesus Chicken, is number three. Number two is Mary Kay, and the number one for service this year is the UPS store. Now, a couple other notable companies I noticed as I was scanning that list. Number 12 is Mission Barbecue, which if you've never eaten there, you're missing out. It's all amazing barbecue. Number 13 is Buc-ee's, the extra-large gas station that hasn't made its way in Michigan yet, but it's just they're almost there, I understand, in the northern part of Ohio. But they're the ones that has all the different ways you can get gas real quick and all that. But looking at the highest-rated hotel chain, comes in at number 27 is the Ritz-Carlton. Now, have you ever stayed at a Ritz-Carlton hotel? I mean, they go all out for service. When you drive up to a Ritz-Carlton hotel, they have valet service, and they will notice your license plate and then welcome you from your home state. All the while, you're wondering, how'd they know? I'm from Michigan. And then they'll open up the passenger side door and ask for that person's first name and last name, and they got a person at a computer who looks up the reservation and lets them know what the driver's name is, and so then they welcome the driver's name, they bring them inside, help them with their luggage. When you leave, the door person has memorized your name and what you look like. So they say, you know, have a good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Jones or whoever, and they just go all out. They actually have a service credo where they go over it every single day. You have to show up 15 minutes before your shift, and they go over their service credo. They have just learned how to provide excellent service. But you know what's kind of sad? You know what's missing? If you look at that list of all these companies, what's missing in that list? The church. I mean, why couldn't the church, the number one place of customer service in America, be on the list of the best places for service in, like, the Detroit area? I mean, it ought to be like Nordstrom's and then Hobby Lobby and then Living Water Church right there, right? I mean, we've got like a 2,000-year history of serving people, of meeting the needs of other people. You know, where you serve somebody, it has this compounding effect on people. People will remember when they've experienced sacrificial love and being served in just an over-the-top kind of way. And that's the kind of person that I'm talking about today. That's what she was known for. Now, she was a minor character who had just a major impact through her service. So go ahead and grab your message notes. And so I want to begin by just defining what serving is. Serving is the act of putting the needs of others before my needs. Go ahead and jot that in your notes. It's the act of putting the needs of others before my needs. And that's what we're talking about today. When you put someone else's needs above your own needs, it has this exponential impact in their life, in your life, and in the life of the people who witness it. Now, maybe you came to church today and you've got some significant needs in your life. And there's probably at least a few people here that just really had a tough week. And I understand that. And maybe today you're thinking, you know what? I need today to be a day where God just gives me something. I need more of God's power in my life. I need God to meet some of my needs that I just don't know how they're going to get met. And here I am writing down that serving is the act of putting the needs of others above my needs. I know that there are other people who have needs, but I've got some really big needs too. Well, let me just give you a principle of spiritual maturity. And this is the principle. God will meet your needs whenever you decide to meet the needs of others. And as Laura has mentioned, God has this way of turning conventional logical thinking completely upside down. And the way God works, if you want God to meet your needs, you need to, if you want to walk out of this worship service today with your cup completely full, then you need to make the decision that you're going to meet the needs of others. It's only when we get outside the shell of our own self-centeredness that God can begin to fill us up. Because why does God fill us up? So that we can feel full? No, so that we can give away what He's given us. As we empty ourselves, God refills us. And once we're full, if we don't give any more away of what God has given us, then God can't give us anything else. We're already full. I mean, does that make sense? And so today, when you decide to serve, that could be the greatest decision that you could make in your life. Because when God is able to give you that power in your life, God is able to give you the strength to do these things, and God is going to work in your life in some really big ways. So let me just kind of prove that to you by showing with you the story of the compounding life of Tabitha. Her story is found at the end of Acts chapter 9. And this is one of the most powerful chapters in the entire New Testament. And because of this, people often overlook these last few verses in this chapter because what goes on at the beginning of chapter 9 is the life of Saul, who became Paul. But Tabitha, she's this minor character who had a major impact. So we're going to start at verse 36. It says, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room, but the believers had heard that Peter was nearby in Lydia. So they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. So Peter returned with them. And as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. And then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. And then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. I mean, can you imagine if that happened at a funeral that you were attending, okay? That just would be like, that's crazy, all right? And then the news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord, as I can imagine. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides. I mean, what a story of service. So let's extract some lessons from this passage on how to live a life of compounding exponential service. And the first one is to acknowledge that God has given me serving gifts. The spiritual gift of service in its many forms is an important gift for the body of Christ. And I think that sometimes in the church we elevate certain gifts as maybe more anointed by God, such as the gift of leadership or preaching or wisdom or extravagant faith. Yet nothing would ever get done in the church without the gifts of service. And I hear some people say, I just kind of like to do things behind the scenes. No one knows, as if, I know, it's almost as if serving behind the scenes is this small thing. It's not very important, something to be hidden. You know, the gift of service is an essential gift in the body of Christ. And if you have one of these spiritual gifts, you are an essential part of our church. And so it's like some people think, oh, I don't have much to contribute. I don't have a lot of financial resources. I don't know how to teach a class. I don't have an ability to play an instrument or sing or lead a ministry. So I don't think it matters very much if I use my small gift of serving. I mean, someone else will do that since everybody can serve. No, if you have the gift of service, it's called a spiritual gift for a reason. It's a special ability that the Holy Spirit has given you to be able to sacrificially give of yourself to help get things done. And Tabitha modeled this well. She was a great example for us. She was a follower of Jesus as a servant who met the needs of others. Now, what are spiritual gifts? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So here's a definition. Spiritual gifts are a supernatural ability or empowerment bestowed by the Holy Spirit upon believers in Jesus Christ to serve the church and advance God's kingdom. So let's unpack that just for a minute. First of all, spiritual gifts are given to us by God. So we don't do anything to earn them. We can develop them, but we don't earn them. And we don't get to choose what gift we get. Paul says to desire the greater gifts, but he, you know, it's still a choice of God as to what gifts he gives us. They are all valuable equally in God's eyes. God sees all the gifts as useful, and he wants us to use them. And then second, we're supposed to use these gifts in the church to advance God's kingdom. Now, some of us might be able to use that spiritual gift to make a living. You know, the gift of teaching, to be a teacher, and the gift of serving, and you can find many different ways to make a living serving people, but it is given to us primarily to be used in the church to advance the kingdom of God. So our next passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Would you underline that phrase in verse 7? Each of us. All of us have a gift. And then underline the phrase, I want you to turn, after you underline that phrase, I want you to turn to the person next to you and with a big old smile just say, you have a gift. Go ahead, find someone. Somebody needs to hear that you've got a gift. You've got a gift, Dan. You've got a gift. We have gifts. We need to hear that sometimes. We have a gift. And so we all have gifts, and we're supposed to use them for the entire church. Now, you are at church today, so that's a great first step. And so my goal today is to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are, and then find ways for you to begin to put those gifts into practice if you're not already. And a good way to begin this quest to figure out that spiritual gift or gifts is by taking a spiritual gifts assessment. And I wouldn't be surprised if many of us have taken spiritual gifts assessments probably multiple times. There are probably at least a few of us who maybe have never done this before. And so I have probably taken this spiritual assessments 20, 30 times in my life. And most of the time it says the same thing. But every once in a while I'm surprised at the result. You know, because when life changes, it tends to bring out new spiritual gifts. And so when you switch jobs or you get married or you have children or you become retired, those life changes just tend to allow us to do things a little bit differently, and a spiritual gift can rise to the top we didn't know we had because our previous circumstances hadn't put us in a place where we could use those gifts. And many times it's God that leads us into circumstances that cause these gifts to rise to the surface. You know, when God first let me know that I had the calling of a pastor, it just seemed like completely nonsense to me. I had not seen the spiritual gifts needed for a pastor in my own life. So it took me a couple of years of wrestling with that conversation I had with God before I started taking classes. And it took 3 years of classes before I even started to see myself in this role. But once I stepped out in obedience to God's call, these spiritual gifts I didn't even know I had started to rise to the surface. Now, to help you get you in the right frame of mind to take this assessment, I want you to kind of use your imagination. I want you to think back to a time when you felt totally energized. You know, maybe you just felt really creative, you know, doing something. You were just so motivated, and you really felt like you were just in the zone. You know, you were just really enjoying what you were doing. And so think about, when was this time? Maybe you were at work. Maybe you were with friends. Maybe you were volunteering in a certain role. Maybe you were on vacation. But do you have that mental picture where you just were in this place where you felt like everything was going and you just felt like it was just almost like it was easy as you were doing something? You have that picture. Now, this is why it's important when you think about spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gift will often align with the abilities and the personality type that you have, with your past experiences and the things that you love. Not always. Sometimes there's a gift that's hidden, and the only way you find out about it is stepping into what God is leading you into. But many times these gifts align with who God has already created you to be. So listed in your message notes is a list of all the spiritual gifts. And so we're going to just quickly go through this list and what they are, and then I want to give you a moment just to go back and pick a couple that you think really fit you well. It might be one, it might be two or three that you just like, okay, these really are things I see myself really just doing and enjoying, and it's just God, how God has made me. So the first one is administration. If your boss or your friends say that dreaded phrase, "We need to get organized," and you get excited, you probably have the gift of administration. If you find yourself always taking notes at meetings, and then you have a system so that you keep track of those notes, and then you go into my office and you see all the piles of paper everywhere, and it causes hives to break out in your body because of my lack of organization, you probably have the gift of administration. The next one is discernment. Someone comes to you and says, "I need advice about a decision. I've got my future. I've got these three choices." And you give them advice and they take it and it goes really well. You might have the gift of discernment. The spiritual gift can allow someone to be able to tell if the influences behind actions and messages and behaviors, if those actions are from God, if they're from humans, or they're demonic. You know, my dad has the gift of discernment. For him, the way it comes out is that when someone is speaking to him and they're not telling him the truth, God will tell him what that person really believes or what that person is lying to him about. Now, I just got to tell you, life would have been easier for me and my brothers had my dad told us he had this gift when we were younger, okay? Just saying, I didn't learn about this till I was an adult. Okay, encouragement. You just notice when people are down, and you just have this ability to say the right words to lift them up. You know, you might find yourself writing notes or emails to people when they're sick, and you're often the first to think of sending a special gift like flowers if someone is in the hospital. Giving. Now, God calls all of us to return a tithe to God, the first tenth of our income. Giving is something that we're all called to do, but some have this gift of giving, and you go far beyond that. You stretch yourself financially, and you teach the rest of us how we can be give in just greater ways. Leadership. This is a God-given, supernatural ability to set, communicate, and guide others toward godly, future-oriented goals with passion and humility. It involves organizing people and delegating tasks and fostering unity. shepherding. A person with this gift enjoys nurturing, guiding, and mentoring individuals to maturity in Christ. You possess a deep love and a patience and concern for the spiritual health of others. You notice when someone is starting to stray from the faith, and you go way out of your way to guide them back. Teaching. This person loves to study the Bible. You like to share practical things that you've learned from God's Word. You have this gift of taking a complex issue and break it apart and explaining it piece by piece until that whole is understood. If you find great joy in helping someone have that aha moment where they finally understand what has escaped them before, then you have that gift of teaching, the gift of speaking in tongues. It's a gift where either, you know, where you can either supernaturally speak in a language that you've never spoken before for the benefit of people who speak in that language, like it was in Acts chapter 2, or you might have this ability to quickly learn new languages, or it's the gift to speak in this heavenly language that's got to be interpreted if it's ever spoken in a church service. Paul says that this gift is for the benefit of unbelievers as a sign that God is real. Or it's also this gift to be able to speak in this heavenly language that speaks directly to God as you pray words from your heart that you just can't express in English. That's the gift of speaking in tongues. And it goes with this gift of interpretation if it's done in a church setting. The gift of healing is restoring health through God's power. This gift is usually accompanied with the gift of faith. And then the gift of pioneering, or the gift of apostleship. This is where new things excite you. You know, when we announce a new initiative or a new ministry or a new vision, you are one of the first people to jump on board and get involved. Key characteristics of this gift include visionary thinking, high initiative and adaptability and resilience, and this deep, often holy discontent with the status quo. It's characterized by this pioneer spirit that embraces change and it takes risks and finds innovative ways to achieve goals. Evangelism. Now, evangelism is similar to giving. God calls all of us to share our God story with our friends and our coworkers and those he's placed in our life. But some of you are just really good at it. I mean, you could teach us all how to do it better. And you look for new and creative ways to share your faith. You love to talk to others about what God is doing in your life. You have the gift of evangelism, faith. You have a high trust in God. When we set a big goal at church, you know right away we're going to meet that goal. And you have this deep resolve that nothing is impossible for God. And you live out of that resolve. Hospitality. If you have this gift, you like to meet new people. You like to make people comfortable, important, and at home. Mercy. You're a good listener. It's the ability to feel deep compassion for those who are suffering and to translate that empathy into cheerful, practical, and sustained actions that will alleviate pain. And it often focuses on long-term support for the broken or the lonely or marginalized, where you reflect the love of God. And it's, you know, it's used where you exercise it without creating dependency on others. Serving. This is the gift that Tabitha had. If you have this gift, then you just look for ways to help out. You pick up, let's just say, some trash whenever you see it and throw it away. You're always looking for someone that you can do something for. You often come early to an event just in case they need some extra help, and you stay late to help clean up. You know, people don't have to ask you. You just jump on in. Wisdom. People who have wisdom are good at extracting principles from past experiences and sharing those with someone who's going through something that's similar. A person with this gift can understand and speak biblical truth and apply it to present life situations. Now, this gift also includes the gift of word of knowledge. Now, this is when God gives a person an insight that could only come from a revelation from God. And then the last one, prophecy. This is speaking God's message. Many times it's about future things. You know, Paul said that this is a gift that's a sign for believers. It's a gift that he suggested people search for and seek out. But it's also a gift that can be easily misused if someone's not careful. So looking at this list, just kind of going through, mark one, two, or maybe three of these that as I was describing them, you thought to yourself, that describes me. Now, if you want a more comprehensive spiritual gifts test, on the next page at the top in your notes, I have a link for you where you can go and take this online assessment. And that assessment takes about 10 to 12 minutes to do. It'll help you further explore your spiritual gifts. But whatever you marked off as your top two or three, I have found doing this multiple times that many times it's about 85, 90% accurate. Just kind of going by your gut reaction to as you hear these gifts and you know yourself. Usually your first inclination to these things are correct. And so once you've identified what your spiritual gifts are, then you've got to put it into practice. So that leads to our second step. I must be proactive in using my spiritual gifts. Discovering your gifts is good. That's the place to start. But when it really gets fun is when, and when you really find a lot of fulfillment is when you put these gifts into practice, when you start using them. That's what Tabitha did. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 says she was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. Underline that phrase, doing kind things for others. Do you know anyone like that in your life? Where they're just doing these kind things for others. It just defines who they are. That's who Tabitha was. And God honors this type of attitude where someone looks for kind things that they can do for other people. I mean, not people who just sit back and say, I'll wait to see if I'm needed. I'll wait to see if maybe someone else steps up. God honors the attitude of someone who says, where's the need and where can I serve? And how can I be obedient to meet that need? It's this posture of looking for opportunity and be obedient to step into it. God honors that. I believe he honors it in two distinct ways. First, as you serve, you begin to recognize even more how God has uniquely gifted you. Because we're all different in these gifts. We might have the same gift, but God uses us in different ways with that gift. And then second, he'll provide more opportunities for you to serve as you step into these things. New and exciting ways for you to serve using your gifts and maybe ways you never thought you'd ever be able to do before. But it really begins with that attitude of being open to it. And for us to be able to use our gifts, we also have to have a lot of opportunities to use those gifts. And the good news is that here at Living Water, we have many ways so that you can serve. So I've listed a few of them in your message notes. And I want to just kind of quickly walk through these, but hold off on checking off on one of these because I want to wait until you get to the end and make sure that it's the best place of service. And I know many of you are already serving on a team, but I want you to think about it, if you're not, how God might use you. So the first one is serving on Sundays. This is the hospitality team. Hopefully someone greeted you when you came in today and you received your message notes. And there was coffee and tea and hot chocolate and people who greeted you and gave you those message notes. Those people are volunteers. They're serving. They're using their gifts. All they have to do is show up about 20 minutes before the service starts. It's a great way to use your gift. Next one is the worship arts team. Some of you have musical abilities. You sing, you play an instrument. You know how to run a soundboard. You know how to use a computer with the slides and the video camera. Or you don't mind learning new technologies. I mean, that's a gift. And we would love for you to use your talents on this team, the outreach team. This team works at creating interest groups where you can invite people who don't go to church and connect with them through a common interest, like fishing or music. Or crafts, or walking, or yoga, going to a movie. And they can, then you just add a little time of prayer to that, and maybe a short devotional, and slowly that group becomes a type of support friendship group that hopefully leads to an open door to share the gospel. Our outreach team. Then we have the nurture team. This team connects people who already attend our church. They plan and host fellowship events and reach out and visit people who are in the hospital or sick at home or are shut-ins, and they celebrate birthdays and they host funeral meals and those kind of things. That's our nurture team, the discipleship team. This team includes all the teachers we have at our church, from the kids to the teens to the adults, and then anyone who helps to develop and implement other spiritual enrichment retreats and activities. The prayer team. This is the backbone of our church. Prayer is the work of the church. And what happens on Sundays and Wednesday nights is the fruit of ministry that comes because of the work of prayer. If we don't have much ministry happening, it's probably because we don't have much prayer happening. And this is such an important team. It is probably the most important team of all the teams we have at our church. The communication team creates the e-blast, the newsletters and Facebook posts and the church website and all the other forms of communication. And then the property management team keeps our church functioning correctly and looking as beautiful as we possibly can. So look back over that list. Which one of those might fit you and your giftings the best? Which one would you like to join today? And you don't have to be a member of our church to be on a team. If you're not already serving on a team, I encourage you to mark off one or two of these options. And then here's the most important step today. You know, after you've gone through that, you've thought it through, you've marked off a couple of them, you've kind of decided what those spiritual gifts are, then if you would, find your connection card. If you flip that card over to the back, on that connection card, you see the next steps. It's on the left-hand side, the last two steps of the next steps. The third one says, my spiritual gifts are, and there's a line to list them. And if you would list your spiritual gifts, maybe it's one or two or three gifts. If you've got 10, narrow it down to your top three, okay? So just that one, two, or three gifts that you'd say are the top gifts that God has given you. And then the fourth step says, learn more about opportunity for serving, and there's a blank. And so what I need you to do is if you, whatever ministry team you just checked off, transfer that to the connection card. And so maybe you checked off worship arts, or you checked off the prayer team, write that in the blank. And I will follow up with an email and make sure you know how you can get involved with that team, because that's my goal. I want you to be able to serve as much as you possibly can. Our church today is only as healthy as how many people are using their spiritual gifts. I believe that every person who attends our church, calls this church their church home, should be on at least one ministry team. You know, it might be that you can't go to the meetings. That's okay. I want you to be serving in some way the giftings that God gave you. Without each of you, we're not able to do all the things that God has called us to do. You are the way that we're going to meet the call that God has placed on our church for 2026. So don't delay. Write that area on your Connect card now. Okay, so by getting more involved in church, you're then able to live out what 1 Timothy 4:14 says. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts you have received. Do not neglect the gifts that God has given you. Make sure you sign up to be on a team so you can begin to serve and have that connection within us and our church family. All right, then back on the back of your notes, here's the third reason that we can learn by looking at the life of Tabitha, and that is to consider the benefits of serving others. Now, the primary reason we serve is because God calls us to serve. We ought to be serving out of obedience, but there are some benefits to it. Just like God meets your needs by helping you meet needs of others, there are other benefits that you also get. So what happens when you serve? Let's just look at some intrinsic benefits, and we'll look at what happened with Tabitha. All right, what was the benefit she received from being such a person of service? Look at verse 37. About this time, she became ill and died. Her friends prepared her for burial and laid her in an upstairs room. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt down and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened up her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he showed them that she was alive. Now, that's quite a benefit for serving. Now, you know, unfortunately, I can't really promise to you that that's going to happen to you if that's, you know, what you do in this life. You know, this is kind of a once in a lifetime of the church history going on here. It seemed like God was using this situation to highlight the power of service and how important it is. But she got up, and then she kept on serving. But what are the intangible benefits of serving for us? And I've listed just a few here. You know, when I serve, it models the life of Jesus. It grows me spiritually. It makes me healthier. It drives selfishness from my life. It produces peace and joy in my life. It allows me to invest in other people. It helps me grow the church. It gives the sense of accomplishment. It allows me to make friendships as I'm doing this. It allows me to belong to something that's bigger than myself. And it makes me more like Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We heard Laura read it for us. It says, "Give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back, that you get back. So if you give a teaspoon of service, God gives you a teaspoon of blessing. You give a bucket full of service, God gives you a bucket full of blessing." And that's how He meets our needs. God meets your needs by calling you to serve other people. Then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." Now, the context of this verse is Paul is talking about this thorn in his flesh that's just driving him crazy. But let's extract the principle here. Underline this phrase, "My power works best in weakness." God says, "My power works best in your weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses," says Paul, "so that the power of Christ may work through me." What's the benefit? God's power. You know, you want God's power to be evident in your life? Then step out of your comfort zone. You say, "I don't know if I can step out and serve. I kind of feel a bit weak about that idea. I don't know if I can start using my spiritual gifts. I don't even know if that would make much of a difference." Looks, God's power works best in your weakness. If you think you can do it, God's not going to work through you. He's just going to let you do it. But when you know you can't do it and you still step out, God shows up. So if you want God to show up in your life, get outside of your comfort zone, start doing something that you didn't think you could do, and God will show up and you'll experience His power and all the other benefits we talked about. So look at what Jesus said you'll be called if you serve. It's our key verse. It says, "The greatest among you must be a servant." Who wants to do something great for God today? I mean, who wants to be great in God's eyes today? Let's pray. Almighty God, I pray for wisdom and insight so that every person here at church will know what their spiritual gift is. You know, it's difficult for us to take that second step of using our gifts when we don't know what they are in the first place. And so, God, I know that sometimes this is a faith adventure. We think we have a certain gift in an area, so we take a step of faith, and sometimes we find out, nope, I was wrong, it's not that, and not my gift. Sometimes this is how we find out what our gift is, just stepping out, exploring, seeking your will. And so I pray for boldness and determination not to let anything stop us from using the gifts we have. Whether it's that we're not sure what they are, or whether it's that we think it's just kind of too scary, Or we believe we're just too busy in life, or we just struggle with the uncomfortableness of stepping into something we've never done before. God, I pray for boldness. Scripture says that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. May our love for you drive us into action. God, I believe that each of us who call Living Water our church home wants to be men and women of service, using our gifts, taking advantage of opportunities, experiencing the benefits, but most of all, just honoring you in your calling to us. I cannot wait to see what you're going to do through each of our steps of obedience to what the Holy Spirit is calling us toward. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.